Well, welcome to the Road Safety Podcast. This is a podcast that helps share how to manage the risks associated with driving and riding for work with me, Dr. Karen McDonnell, Occupational Health and Safety Policy Advisor at RoSPA. This how-to podcast series is part of the work of the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance project, funded by Transport Scotland and delivered by RoSPA, that contribute to Scotland's Road Safety Framework to 2030. And today's episode is all about how to manage speed and where it fits within an overall strategy for managing driving risk. I'm joined by Fiona O'Donnell, Global Health and Safety Strategy Lead at Jacobs, who's passionate about getting road safety right. So Fiona, it's been proven that drivers and riders who drive too fast are more likely to crash and to cause injuries. In your experience, how can an employer manage their employee's speed and limit these kinds of crashes and injuries?
Thanks, Karen, and thanks a million for having me on to talk about this very, very important topic. You know, I think it's one that's often overlooked. And if I think about our own organisation, Jacobs, you know, we've got 60,000 staff dotted all over the world. Of those 60,000, we have about 28,000 drivers that go out, that leave their offices, leave their houses and get into their cars and drive for us as part of their work. They're not professional drivers, but they do certainly get into their car and drive for us for work. So look, I suppose it's really important that you actually start off with a strategy. Speed is a part of that, and management of speed is a part of it. But the very first starting point is actually understanding your risk, and then making it a priority by actually having a strategy around it. Behaviours obviously is a huge thing as well, and getting people to make the right decisions when they get into the car, and that has to be part of that overall strategic approach to managing work-related road risk.
And in the sense of understanding the speed at which drivers drive on behalf of the organisation, what ways do you use speed data to manage the risk? How do you collect information about the speed at which people are driving?
Yeah, so I suppose, look, we have grey fleet. So we don't have, fleet that would have telematics in it. Now, we are obviously in a data-driven age, and that is an area that we are focusing and looking at the moment with our partners, ADT, who manage our work-related road risk programme. You know, we're heavily reliant on data that comes out of accident and incident data at the moment, and really heavily relying on people coming forward to tell us about some of the, you know, the weird and wonderful things that happen to them when they're out on the road. But that again goes back to just having that culture where people feel comfortable and confident coming and talking to you about the risk and some of the stuff that they're seeing out there.
I think that you've introduced the sort of do you need to drive question there, you know, that whole piece. And I know that really underpins the strategic approach that Jacobs has. Could you maybe unpick that a little bit for people thinking, well, how would you actually achieve that in an organisation? Do you need to drive?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the process that we go through is we look at who you are, we look at where you're driving, we look at the modes of transport you're using. But the very, very first starting point has got to be a conversation between our people and their teams or their line managers to determine whether you actually need to go out into a vehicle in the first place. And what we found over the years is once that conversation starts, often you'll find that the journey isn't required. So we've always said the safest mile is the mile not driven. Now, if we want to kind of flip it and look at, you know, we started this journey in 2006. If you want to kind of flip it and look at where we are now, we're now looking at the most valuable mile. So what value is there through our health and safety and strategic approach to driving? What is the value there for society and for the individual? You know, our program has always been about risk mitigation, but actually there's real value in not having people in their cars. And that's again part of that cultural approach to getting people to understand why it's so important to manage this risk.
Oh, absolutely. And you also mentioned grey fleet. So for anyone who's listening and that doesn't quite understand the terminology, could you just provide a little bit of an insight about what that means and where it can apply in other organisations?
Yeah, absolutely. So our staff predominantly use their own cars or hire cars. So we don't manage fleet. So when we ask somebody to go to a meeting, for example, typically they're going and getting into their own vehicle. So it's really important to have a really robust governance process over that. So part of the strategy for us is trying to actually get people out of their own cars and into hire vehicles, because we know if they're in hire vehicles, we'll have a higher level of governance over it. And also, really importantly, we can stipulate the type of car that people get into. So we can stipulate safety features, we can stipulate the age of the vehicle, we can then tailor training around that kind of vehicle. So none of this is easy. You know, we've been on a really long journey with this. We started in 2006, where we were having high speed, high consequence accidents. And thankfully, we're at a stage now in 2023 where we've kind of plateaued. We've completely changed our risk profile. We went from high speed, high consequence to now we're having loads of those really annoying incidents that that you wish would just go away. Nobody's getting hurt. However, we're still making poor decisions when we get into cars. So we're reversing out of driveways and hitting our wing mirror off posts or reversing back into posts when we're parking in car parks and at our own homes sometimes. So those kind of driver distraction incidents that we just can't seem to close the gap on. Now, thankfully, you know, 2006, we were sending people to hospital and they were involved in some pretty, you know, horrific incidents. And we don't tend to see those anymore. But going forward, the question is, how do we, and I know you're going to cover it in another podcast, Karen, but it's the whole distraction piece. And I think that sits within speeding, because people speed for all kinds of reasons, and one of them is often just being completely distracted and not being cognizant of the environment that you're actually driving in and driving defensively for that environment.
The Road Safety Podcast is brought to you by the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance and funded by Transport Scotland. For further information, visit our website www.scorsa.org.uk. So from a driver's perspective then, you've given some insights there into the strategic overview of the organisation and the change that that's affecting. From a driver perspective, the type of conversations you have with drivers, you know, where, for example, someone's fed back that they felt pressurised to drive an inappropriate speed, which is a situation that many listeners might find drivers in, you know, a set of circumstances changes, and all of a sudden, someone feels under pressure to drive at an inappropriate speed. I mean, what kind of conversations do you have with your drivers about those situations?
Yeah, and you've hit on something really important there. This is all about the conversation, right? And we always say this in Jacobs. This is not about the piece of paper. We have a travel planning process. You know, you're supposed to sit down with your line manager, determine whether the journey is actually required in the first place and whether you need to get into the car. If you need to get into the car, then there's a set of criteria that you must meet and you have to risk assess it. But this is really all about that interaction and that relationship building piece between the line manager and the individual who's going out to travel for us, because that's the best place to influence. Like, myself and the HSE team can write up all the policies around this that we want, but actually, if the line manager and the person that is going out to work for us and is leaving the office and is traveling and is in a car or in a train or whatever it might be, that is the best place to influence. And that relationship building is what's going to drive to better decisions being made. Like, if you don't feel comfortable with your line manager, you're not going to feel comfortable having that conversation about, well, actually, I don't want to drive. I remember an incident that we had many years ago. It was probably around 2007, where we had a young graduate who had spent 18 months in Australia backpacking. So she wasn't driving. She'd spent 18 months and hadn't sat in a car in behind the wheel of a car. And she came back to work for us. And her first week back at work, she was asked to go out and do a site visit. And the manager in the office at the time said to her, you need to go out and we're going to hire a van for you. And you need to go out and you need to do this work. And she said, well, look, I haven't driven in 18 months. And I actually don't feel comfortable getting into the car today. And I have never driven a van before. And he said to her, listen, this work needs to be done. If you don't do it, I'm going to get somebody else to do it. So the pressure she felt to go out and do that made her get into a vehicle that she was unfamiliar with and get behind a wheel for the first time in 18 months. Now, she actually ran the car off the road that day and flipped, the car flipped, and she ended up in a ditch. So that led to, you know, lots of internal discussions about the pressure that people feel under sometimes to get out, to go out and get into a car. It was quite a stressful time for her and actually for the line manager, because our senior leadership at the time took that very seriously. And we used that definitely to learn some lessons around, you know, work pressures. And it gave us an opportunity to say to the business, if you don't feel comfortable, you just don't do it. And you have the backing of senior leadership. And that's really important. Our staff have to know that they, you know, that senior leadership are bought into this. And for anybody out there listening, that's really important. If leadership aren't bought in, then, you know, it's a very, very, very steep hill to climb.
Well, certainly there, that example very much is underpinned by the importance of having strategies in place, but also to be able to have that conversation and build relationships between the employer and individual drivers. My thanks to you, Fiona O'Donnell, and thanks very much to you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your usual podcast provider so you don't miss an episode. And we'd love it if you could leave a review. It really does make the podcast easier for others to find. The Road Safety Podcast is produced by Fresh Air Production. I'm Karen McDonnell, and thank you for listening.